Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Then the next thing he said is, and I understand that the wife has an alimony claim. Well, that was it. Just the word alimony had him like going nuts. So he just started, he stood up, veins popping out of his forehead, screaming at everybody, screaming at the mediator.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about signs that a narcissist is losing control. Narcissists hate to lose control. That is the one thing that they never, ever want to happen to them. And I've obviously had to deal with a couple of narcissists in my own life. And I've also seen a lot of narcissists in my law practice. So I've seen them lose control. And it is absolutely the last thing that they would ever want to have happen. They have an innate sense and an innate need to control everything around them. And having that control is a form of narcissistic supply. And, you know, remember that when you're dealing with narcissists, narcissists have no inner sense of value. And, you know, I mean, you could go back to their childhood and talk about all the different reasons why they have no inner sense of value. They had some sort of trauma that they endured as children. I've also heard, you know, conflicting reports that maybe overindulgence provided some way that, you know, they also became narcissists where they have no inner sense of value. I know one of the narcissists that I had to deal with in my own life had often said that they hadn't ever felt loved as a child. And so, you know, it could be something to do with that as well. But you know, they don't feel fulfilled. They don't feel, they feel extremely empty inside. So they constantly are trying to fill this void and this feeling of worthlessness and emptiness with narcissistic supply. They try to get fulfillment from that. And narcissistic supply becomes their food, their lifeblood, their oxygen. It's everything that they need to live on. And so, you know, it's anything that feeds their ego. And it can never be fed. It's an insatiable appetite. So they will try to attempt to control everything and anything and anyone around them in order to obtain this. And, you know, I've often said that supply can come in the form of money, a prestigious job, the right house, the right spouse. But most of the time, I think it comes in the form of much darker things, such as devaluing, debasing, treating people poorly, and even worse, sometimes it's, you know, intimidation tactics and violence or threats of violence or stalking, things like that. So when a narcissist is feeling out of control and they're afraid that they're going to lose their supply or having their injury somehow exposed, they will most likely act out in a number of different ways. So the first way that they will act out is that narcissistic rage. Every narcissist has what we call narcissistic injury. And that narcissistic injury can is that thing that lives deep down inside of them, constantly making them feel like they're no good, like they have that emptiness inside of them. And when that gets triggered, that narcissistic rage comes flying out. And man, have I seen it in my practice. I actually had a case where the guy was such a raging, malignant narcissist, and he came to mediation one day where, and he didn't even have a lawyer with him, because he was just, you know, I'm so good. I can just show up here and I'm going to tell everybody how this is going to go. And, but his injury had already been triggered when the wife had filed for divorce, and, he didn't expect that. I mean, they had been married like 30 years, a little over 30 years. And she had actually tried to leave him once before, like 4 or 5 years prior to the actual divorce. So, and she didn't make it, like, and she, you know, she says now that she hadn't planned the way that she should have, and, you know, didn't, have a way to support herself and a place to go and money and all of those kinds of things. So by the time she left him the second time, she was ready to go. But because she had left before, she never really thought that he would go through with it, or that she would go through with it. So the fact that she was actually going through with it, and we were all the way to the point of mediation, he was just beside himself, going crazy, losing control. And because this narcissistic injury had been exposed. And, you know, it's sort of like a two-year-old throwing a tantrum for not getting what they want, but it's so much worse, you know. And so this particular gentleman, which I term I use loosely, he shows up at mediation and, you know, he sat there for a little bit. I was actually surprised he even showed up for mediation, to be honest with you. You know, I felt like he's not going to show up at all. And so when he showed up, I was actually kind of hopeful that maybe we were going to be able to get somewhere with this thing, but not too fast, you know. Anyway, so we ended up starting off, as you do with mediations, where the mediator was giving his thoughts, you know, about the mediation process and giving his background about the mediation process. And as soon as the mediator started going through what the issues were and said, okay, you guys are going to be dividing a house, you're going to be dividing these bank accounts, and there's a business to deal with. And then the next thing he said is, and I understand that the wife has an alimony claim. Well, that was it. Just the word alimony had him like going nuts. So he just started, he stood up, veins popping out of his forehead, screaming at everybody, screaming at the mediator. So my client and I said, you know, we'll step out of the room, because I thought maybe if we at least stepped out of the room that maybe he would calm down. And we went next door to the room next door in my office, which happened to be the kitchen. So we just went in there to get a cup of coffee. And we could hear him like screaming at the mediator that everybody was ganging up on him, that, you know, he certainly wasn't going to pay her alimony, and she was, you know, gold digging, whatever. And then of course using all kinds of, not great language and calling her names and calling the mediator names. And finally he stormed out. So, you know, there's a really great example of what narcissistic rage looks like, once that narcissistic injury gets triggered. And so that rage is one really big telltale sign that they're starting to feel like they're losing control. So the next one is increasingly devaluing behaviors. So remember that narcissists use devaluing behaviors in order to get people to do what they want them to do, in order to try to feel like they're superior to other people. And you know, it's just one of those manipulation behaviors that they use. So when they start to feel like they're out of control, they start increasing those devaluing behaviors. They especially get exacerbated when they feel that control slipping out of their hands. And devaluing not just their target, but devaluing other people around them, by the way. So what I've seen in my practice is that if they narcissist feels like me as the lawyer is starting to have more control over the other person as it starts to happen, right? Because now this other person is going to start to look to their lawyer for guidance and advice, which is exactly what the narcissist does not want to see happen, then that's when they'll start to devalue the lawyer and start to say things, about the lawyer, whatever they need to say to make that lawyer seem less in that person's eyes. So, they're incompetent, they charge too much, they have too many clients, they don't know what they're doing, they over-litigate, whatever it is that they need to say. But then the devaluing behavior, of course, increases toward their target, of course, as well. So, narcissists are really, really good at reading people. They are actually really, really experts at reading people because, it's in their best interest to read the situations and read people and figure out where they can best manipulate. And, I've often likened it to, how that book, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, talks about how you need 10,000 hours to become an expert at something. They have spent way more than 10,000 hours at being master manipulators. I mean, years and years and years and years, their entire lives. And so they're really, really good at it. And that's why in my programs, in Slayer Negotiation with a Narcissist and the other things that I have, I often talk about ethically manipulating the manipulator because that's what you're going to have to do and start thinking in those terms in order to extricate yourself from the situation and get out of it. As horrible as it sounds, if their devaluing behaviors are occurring more and more often or in a more intense way, then they probably are feeling out of control. And they're good at reading you. As I said, they've been reading you for a very, very long time. They know your weaknesses. They know how to push your buttons. And so those random and personal attacks toward you, if they start increasing in frequency and intensity, then they know that they're going to, it means that they're losing control. So they're trying to go back to the well of what worked for them in the past. And so you'll see signs of that as well.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
More often than not, you see this when the other things that they tried to do didn't work. They tried the rage. That means that, they've lost control there. They've tried increasingly devaluing you. And now, okay, let's try love bombing and see how that goes.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online, or it can be through phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
And this specialist, she said to me, these are the only things that are going to come out of this. Because I was hooked, I was addicted. She said, either he's going to kill you, you're going to kill him, you're going to end up with a terminal disease that will take you out because you're so sick, or you're going to have a complete psychotic breakdown.
And now we return to today's show.
So the next way that you can tell that a narcissist is losing control is if that they go back to love bombing. Because if devaluing didn't work for them, okay, let's go back to what worked in the first place, which was the good old-fashioned love bomb. So love bombing is how a narcissist starts their relationship. And you know, it can be varying degrees of love bombing, and love bombing can look a lot of different ways. But and going back to love bombing after, you know, you're into the discard phase can often be called hoovering, you know, kind of like they're getting their way back into your life and back into your world. So, you know, what love bombing looks like is, you know, trying to woo you again, you know, trying to use their charm, trying to use that good old fashioned charisma that they used before to worm their way into your lives. So, you know, how that might look in a case is, you know, litigation's been going on, and they've filed all kinds of crazy stuff against you because, you know, narcissists like to weaponize the court system. They really want to do everything they can to go after you, you know, because you're either for them or against them. So once they realize that you're against them, then you become the enemy. And so they want to get you before you get them. They start going after everything. And it's so crazy because I've seen them like file bogus motions and accuse people of the worst, most heinous things, such as child abuse or child molestation, or have people arrested and all of that. And then if that doesn't work, they go back to, oh, come on, you know, we always could work things out, or, you know, we always had a chemistry with each other, or they might even try to have sex and use that if that's something that's always worked in the past. And you start to get like super confused, like what in the heck is going on here? But they'll go back to that well of what worked for them in the past to try to hoover you back in and love bomb you. You know, more often than not, you see this when the other things that they tried to do didn't work. You know, they tried the rage. You know, that means that, you know, they've lost control there. They've tried increasingly devaluing you. And now, okay, let's try love bombing and see how that goes. The next thing that you might see is like a passive aggressive sort of sulking period where they maybe ghost you, they don't talk to you, they give you the silent treatment, they refuse to respond to you. You know, they're going to do whatever they can. They're going to go back to that well of how do I get control back again? And one of the ways that they can do that is the silent treatment or some kind of passive aggressive behavior. So silent treatment, by the way, or ghosting is different than you going no contact. The silent treatment or ghosting is solely meant to manipulate you and try to get you to do something, you know, get you back under their web of control. Whereas you going no contact is a protection against their abuse. Ghosting, silent treatment, they are actually a form of narcissistic abuse. So there's a big difference between, you know, it's the meaning behind it. It's the why you do it. And, you know, when you go no contact, you're not doing it to abuse them. You're doing it to protect yourself and to be able to move on with your life and create boundaries so that you can no longer be subjecting yourself to abuse. That's so different than what ghosting or silent treatment is. So, you know, when I was dealing with a couple of different narcissists, you know, the thing I did start to notice is that suddenly, you know, one narcissist in particular, suddenly that person was doing a lot of the things that I had wanted that person to do to begin with that they never would do. And now all of a sudden, like, here they are doing them. And, you know, so again, that would be kind of part of that love bombing thing. But, you know, it can be kind of confusing because suddenly you start to think, well, maybe they're getting better, but they're not getting better. They are just losing control. So they're going back to their arsenal of things that they know how to do in order to get you to do, you know, what they want again. The next thing that you start seeing is the gaslighting. And gaslighting is a super fave of all narcissists. And I actually saw this in my life as well when I was dealing with a particular narcissist. You know, all of a sudden they start saying, well, hey, you know, what's the problem? Why are you so angry? You seem so angry. I mean, what is it that you're so upset about? And you just look at them like as if they're, you know, crazy, because they are crazy, but they're trying to make you think that you're the one that's crazy, because, you know, they're acting like, oh, there's nothing to be upset about. What are you acting this way for? And you know, they're trying to maybe just get you to forget about what it is that you're upset about and just go back to being their source of supply so that, you know, let's go back to restoring the way things were. And so if, you know, if this doesn't work, then they'll try the next thing. You know, if bad attention doesn't work, I'll try good attention, you know, whatever. They'll go back to whatever they need to do. Another sign that a narcissist is losing control is that they start making mistakes. And this is where, especially in a case, you start seeing them do things that they normally wouldn't do, you know, such as fly off the handle and write rageful text messages or emails, something that will end up being a really great trial exhibit against them down the road. or they'll do something, you know, where it's really like provable. So for example, I represented a guy who was a narcissist, and he was so mad about having to pay his wife temporary support that he thought it would be really funny to sign one of the checks, like with his left hand, you know, he was right-handed, and in crayon, and he only put his first name. So, you know, it looked like a five-year-old had written it. Well, there's a really great trial exhibit. And of course, when we go to trial, that was like the first thing that her lawyer shows the judge to show like what a jerk he is. So, you know, again, he was like starting to lose control. So he started making mistakes. He started doing things that weren't necessarily going to end up being in his best interest. Whereas a lot of times narcissists are usually pretty smart about how they go about things like that, and they don't make such mistakes like that. And finally, one of the last ways that they, you know, there's many different ways that they actually lose control, but another way is they actually collapse. They collapse into depression, anxiety. They have a nervous breakdown. I mean, when their sense of self, you know, because they have no sense of self. And so when they actually are exposed, then they might actually collapse. They might actually go into a deep depression. Maybe you see them, you know, drinking too much, or taking drugs, or going out and doing other types of impulsive or erratic things, like, you know, sleeping with all kinds of people, or staying out all night, or, you know, not showing up to pick up the kids, or showing up unkempt in some way, not showing up at work, things like that. I mean, they can really, you know, go into some sort of emotional crisis, which of course will all end up being your fault. But sometimes that happens when a narcissist is really super exposed and realizes that they no longer have control over the situation. So that's one of the ways that a narcissist, that one of the signs that a narcissist is losing control as well. And just remember that even though when they are unraveling, you know, all these things start happening. And of course, they're not going to self-reflect, and they're not going to apologize, and they're not going to say, oh, you know, I shouldn't have acted that way or whatever. No, they're not going to do that. They usually are the worst right before they're ready to give up. And I always tell people that because, you know, yes, it's awful to have to deal with what you have to deal with. But the truth of the matter is, you need to remember that you are the more secure one. You are the stronger one. That is the not so secret secret. That's the biggest secret that they really don't want you to know, is that, you know, you actually have a lot of the power, or most of the power. And they go through a lot of what they go through so that you don't see that, and that you don't know that. So if you are getting ready to negotiate with a narcissist, make sure to grab my free Crush My Negotiation Prep Worksheet at winmynegotiation.com. And if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, you should definitely do that. I have hundreds and maybe even thousands of hours of videos on there with lots more information. You know, I'm committed to getting you guys the information that you need in order to extricate yourselves from these heinous beasts. As you know, I've had to deal with it myself, and I've also dealt with it in my practice for many, many years. So I send you light, and I send you love, and I thank you so much for listening. And remember, today's a great day to start negotiating your best life. So I will see you, hear you, or be in touch with you in the next show.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.